This evening, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll be looking at the first 11 verses of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Before we turn our attention to God's word this evening, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The grass withers and the flowers fall. The word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, it's one of the most comforting passages in the Bible. And it's a good passage to think about and reflect on, especially on Ascension Day. It's Hebrews 4, verse 14. And here's what it says. Since then, we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, so ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 is calling us to live with hope, to live with encouragement and courage and confidence. Why? Not only because Jesus has passed through the heavens, has ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, but also because he understands what we're going through, because he has gone through it. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our needs. Each step of redemption, Christ accomplishing our salvation, is for our benefit. So Christ's entire life, his complete work was directed to our good, for our good, for our benefit. And so the question that we think about this evening is, well, how does Christ's ascension benefit us? What does it mean for us? After Jesus' resurrection, he was on earth for 40 days, we read at the beginning of Acts here. And if you go back to the end of Luke 24, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Acts 1 verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. This is the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus going up into heaven. It really did happen. This is a historical fact. It has a historical date around 35 AD is when this took place. And we have eyewitnesses who saw it take place, who were there. If you had your smartphone back then, you could take a picture or a video. This is a truth that we profess together. We just profess the Apostles' Creed together, that we believe that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. This is what we believe, that Christ, while his disciples were watching, was taken up from the earth into heaven and remains there for us on our behalf until he will come again. Till he'll come back to judge the living and the dead. 3 points that we'll be looking at this evening are, first, that Jesus was taken up. Second, he was seated. And third, he will come. And so first, Jesus was taken up. He was taken up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Now, what we are professing when we say that we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven is that he went somewhere. But he was taken to a place. He went up into heaven. He didn't suddenly just disappear or cease to exist, never to be seen again, but rather he gradually ascended, was taken up, was lifted up as his followers were watching, and then a cloud hid him from their sight. And that's probably the cloud of God's glory that we've experienced throughout Scripture that hid him, took him from their sight. But the point is that Jesus went somewhere. He went into heaven. He went to a place. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that he's going to prepare a place for us. That he's going to go there, prepare a place for us, and then take us to be there with him. When you fast forward to the end, Revelation 21, the new heavens and the new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, coming down from heaven. Throughout Scripture, you have pictures of people going up or coming down from heaven. Elijah went up into heaven on that chariot. Just had a moment of thinking if it was Elijah or Elisha. Elijah went in the flaming chariot up into heaven. And when you think of Jacob's vision of that ladder, the angels were coming up and down from heaven. So from a specific place. So when we think about heaven, we think about it being up there, going up into heaven. But the earth is round. And the earth rotates and it goes on an orbit. So up could be anywhere, and we don't know exactly where it could be. But we're told that Jesus went somewhere, that he went up, he ascended into heaven. To add to that, we know that Jesus has a resurrected human body, which means that as a human, he can only be in one place at a time. Just like you and me can only physically be in one place at a time, this means that Jesus went somewhere when he ascended into heaven. But didn't Jesus tell us that, well, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age? Yeah, Jesus said that. So how can Jesus physically be in one place in heaven and at the same time say that he is with us always to the very end of the age? It might surprise you, but there are some theologians out there who hesitate to say that heaven is a place, or they hesitate to say that Jesus ascended to a definite location somewhere. The first Russian cosmonaut to go up into space, when he came back, he said he didn't see God or heaven anywhere. We have the Hubble Space Telescope that it can stare light years away. Why can't it see heaven? Why can't it see Jesus? Because there's a difference between the physical and the spiritual. We can't see Jesus where Jesus is at because our eyes are unable to see the unseen spiritual world that exists all around us. There are angels around us and we simply can't see them because our eyes don't have that ability. They don't have that capacity. You can think of Elisha and his servant. And he asked God to open his servant's eyes when the Syrians were attacking so that he could see the army of angels and the chariots of fire that were protecting them. But before that, before God opened his eyes, he couldn't see the spiritual reality that was right there. Same thing is true when Stephen was being stoned. God gave him the ability to see the world that is hidden from our eyes. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Jesus was taken up into heaven. He went to a place. Now, what does that mean for us right here and right now? What does Christ's ascension into heaven mean for you? Well, what it means is that you have one of your own, someone in the flesh, human flesh, who is your advocate in heaven, someone who understands you. Christ is sympathetic to your weaknesses and your needs because he hears and he answers, knowing and experiencing exactly what you have gone through and are going through. He's been there. He's done that. He understands and he knows because he's gone through the same thing himself. He came to earth, and from the time he was an infant until he ascended after his resurrection, he faced the full range of sufferings and temptations and difficulties that we face. He understands. He knows what it's like to be homeless and hungry and rejected. He knows and is familiar with diseases and physical pain. He knows how painful it is to be falsely accused. He faced temptation. He knows what it's like to have those who love you turn their back on you. He understands suffering and death. He understands and knows us and has a first-hand understanding and experience of what we are living through day to day. You have someone in heaven who understands you. Someone who's your advocate. 1 John 1, verse 2. 1 John 2, verse 1. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so what I hope you're seeing is that Christ's ascension into heaven wasn't just about him getting from earth into heaven, but rather he is taking his seat at the right hand of God the Father, representing us, advocating us, interceding for us. Romans 8 talks about how he is at the right hand of God who intercedes for us. So that's what his ascension means for you. Jesus was taken up, but secondly, he was seated. He was seated. He was seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus understands what it's like to be human because in this fallen world, he experienced, he took on human flesh. He lived with us as a man. And now as the resurrected and ascended man, he sits next to the Father as our advocate, interceding for us as our high priest, as Hebrews explains it. This means that our struggles and our prayers are heard and understood. They're not met with condemnation or impatience, but rather with understanding and sympathy, because he understands, because he's one of us. Now, one specific aspect of Christ's ascension into heaven is that he is seated at the right hand of God. He sat down at the right hand of God. Old Testament predicts that the Messiah would sit at the right hand of God. Psalm 110 verse 1. Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so when Christ took his seat at God's right hand, he received the fulfillment of that promise. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Hebrews 1 verse 3. Now this welcoming into the presence of God and sitting at God's right hand is the dramatic declaration that Christ's work has been finished, has been accomplished. Just like you sit down, fall into the couch after you have finished that hard project, and you enjoy the fact that it's done. In a similar way, this is the "it is finished, here is your reward, well done, good and faithful servant," mission complete, as Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And in that moment, Christ is also receiving a glory from God the Father that he didn't have before. An honor and authority that hadn't been his before. You can think about before Jesus died, he prayed, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had before, with you before the world existed." In his Pentecost sermon, Peter said that Jesus was exalted at the right hand of God. Revelation 5 says that the angels are singing to Christ in heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And what that means, this glory, this honor, this authority that is now Christ, what that means for us is that we can rest assured that we will receive what we need for the particular needs that we have and for the particular situations that we find ourselves in. We can be confident that he hears us when we pray, that he has a sympathy because he shares the experiences of what we're going through. And he also has the ability and the power and the authority to provide for us exactly what we need, because he's now ruling and reigning at the right hand of God. We have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us up. His members take us up to himself. His resurrection, Easter Sunday, has profound implication for our lives, but his ascension also has significance for us, because now we have our own flesh in heaven, which points to the fact that someday we will be in heaven as well. Our head, Jesus Christ, is in heaven. And since we've been united with Christ in every aspect of his work of redemption, his resurrection is our resurrection. His ascension is our ascension. That's why 1 Thessalonians said that we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll always be with the Lord. John Calvin explains it like this: "The Lord, by his ascent to heaven, opened the way into the heavenly kingdom, which had been closed through Adam. since he entered heaven in our flesh, so as a man, as if in our name, it follows, as the apostle says, that in a sense, we already sit with God in the heavenly places with him. Now think about that for just a moment. We sit at the right hand of God in the heavenly places with Christ because we are united to Christ. Paul in Ephesians 2 explains it like this. By grace you have been saved. God raised us up with him, Christ, and seated us, past tense, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what Scripture is saying is that you are now seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You are united with Christ. What is true for him is true for you. Because we are united with Christ in his ascension, the authority that he has as part of his ascension is in part the authority that we have. He raised us up and he seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, we aren't physically present in heaven because we're right here. We're still here on earth. But if Jesus being seated at God's right hand refers to him receiving authority, and that's hopeful for us because he is our head, then the fact that God has seated us with Christ means that we also share in some way in that authority that Christ has as well, because we are united with Christ. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? Christ's ascension is our ascension. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And third and finally, he will come again. He will come again. Someday he will come again in the same way as he went into heaven. Verse 10, Acts 1, verse 10. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So this same Jesus that you saw go into heaven, the promise that the angels are giving you, he is going to come. He will come in the same way as you just saw him go. So not a different Jesus, but a literal, physical, resurrected Savior. The one who just went into heaven. The one Jesus that they know and love would come again to earth, just like he ascended from earth. Christ will come. He will return to judge the living and the dead. He's coming back. He will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven, the angel says. How does that thought make you, how does that truth make you feel? What does that truth make you feel? The thought of Christ's return, does it comfort you? Does it get you excited with the anticipation of what's coming? Does it make you uneasy or nervous? What Christ's return means for you right now is that all of the hard and miserable and painful and messy things that you are going through right now don't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. Don't even compare to what's coming. You can go through the hurts and the pains of this broken world confidently looking forward to Christ's return. And the coming judge is the one who has already given himself in your place. The judge who suffered God's judgment for your sin and removed the entire curse of sin from you. When he returns to judge the living and the dead, he's going to cast all of his enemies into everlasting condemnation. But he's going to take you and all of his chosen ones to himself in the joy and the glory of heaven. How does this promise, he will come in the same way as you saw him go, comfort you in light of what you've gone through this past week? Or how does that reality, that truth, comfort you in light of what you're going to face in the next few days? Christ's ascension has huge implications for us, because it gives us the assurance that our final home will be with Christ. Because he was a man just like us in every way except for sin. And he has gone before us. He has paved the way. He's the first fruits. Which means that someday we will be there with him as well. The fact that Jesus has already ascended into heaven and has achieved the goal set before him gives us the assurance, because he has ascended, we too will ascend. His ascension is our ascension. We're eventually going to be with him. Before Christ, when it was taken up into heaven, his disciples had one final question. Lord, you know, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time, Lord, when you're going to kick out the Romans and give it back to Israel? You can almost feel Christ's frustration. He's like, you guys still don't get it. But what he told them is to wait. What he told them is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so in addition to having our own flesh in heaven advocating for us, interceding for us, our high priest in heaven, right-hand throne of God, he also gave us his Spirit. That's how he's present with us. In his farewell address to his disciples, he told them, I'm leaving, and that's for your good. It's good that I go away so that I can send the Helper to you, the Holy Spirit. He understood, Jesus understood that he was a man, and he was limited to one time and one place. But once he ascended to heaven, he could send the Holy Spirit to give us power from on high so that he could be with us forever. And be our guarantee of the ascension into heaven that is ours. Our guarantee of the completion of our own salvation. Jesus will come in the same way they saw him go into heaven. Now, as you think about Christ being in heaven right now, does this draw your attention to things that have eternal significance? When you think about Christ being in heaven right now, does it increase your assurance that you will someday be with him in heaven? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus was taken up. He was seated. He will come. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the resurrection, ascension, session, ruling reign, and return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we think about these amazing truths of all that Christ has done for us, let them sink in deep and be our encouragement and our comfort, no matter the struggles that we face here and now. Lift our eyes. Fix our eyes on Christ, who is seated on high, ruling and reigning. Fix our hope, O Lord, on the return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.